Monster Man, Episode 132, Stun Jelly to Susurrus. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are almost to the end of the S chapter of the Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And we're going to look at two quite strange monsters from that section, the Stun Jelly and the Susurrus. Before we get started, I want to take care of a little administration. Next week, Monster Man is going to go on holiday hiatus. So if you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, today is Tuesday the 18th of December. There's going to be an episode as normal this Friday the 21st, but then the Tuesday after that is Christmas, and I'm not going to release an episode that day, and also not that Friday. And I'm going to be honest, probably not the Tuesday after, which is New Year's Day. So look for Monster Man to resume in the first week of January. Now, this isn't going to affect the schedule for my bonus show, Patron Deities. That goes out to my Patreon supporters, and, you know, they pay money for it, so I would feel bad shortchanging them. And also, we're right at toward the end of a season. And I should say that I have resolved that the next season of Patron Deities is going to be the Cthulhu Mythos section of the Deities and Demigods book. So that is something that was not in later printings of the Deities and Demigods book, and something that is a bit of a specialist subject of mine. Arguably, I'm more of a Lovecraft guy than I am a Dungeons & Dragons guy, so I feel like there's a lot to be said about it. So if you were thinking about signing up at a level of the Patreon that would get you access to Patron Deities, and you like the Cthulhu Mythos, I mean, who doesn't? I think, hopefully, there should be a lot of fun stuff to enjoy in that season. Alright, but enough about administration, let's get started. Our first monster for this episode is the Stun Jelly, created by Neville White. And now the Stun Jelly is a jelly, and it stuns you, so in a sense that's pretty straightforward. It's basically a bit like a gelatinous cube, but it's more like a gelatinous panel. And instead of just oozing translucently down dungeon hallways like a gelatinous cube does, it's more kind of a murky color that's hard to see through, and it puts itself on walls, basically pretends to be a dungeon wall. And the result is that, you know, maybe you lean up against it, or maybe you check it for traps, or whatever, and when you do that, it zaps you with its paralyzing power and tries to engulf you. Now, I've spoken before about how I feel about kind of naturalistic trap monsters. They feel weird to me, but sort of not weird enough, something that we will discuss in the next monster. On the other hand, I feel like there are some things you could do with the Stun Jelly to make it work. So, for example, it seems like it would be the kind of thing that would be in a part of the dungeon that the other monsters don't really go. So all the, you know, hobgoblins or whatever have just learned to ignore this part of the ruined temple that they've set up their bandit camp in. And it's an excellent explanation for why certain areas of the dungeon haven't been accessed. You know, it's a bit like a locked door that the orcs are too stupid to figure out how to open, but that's always very hard to explain how the orcs haven't just, like, bashed it down, because they are very good at bashing. So this could be an area where, you know, people who go into that chamber keep disappearing, and so the locals have kind of learned to avoid it with superstitious dread. But you have to first locate, and second, fight your way past this thing in order to get to whatever's on the other side. Or indeed, once you kill it, you suddenly realize that there's something on the other side of it, right? It's been feeding on things coming at it from both directions all these years. This is also a great complication monster, which is something that we talked about before with creatures like the Bloodworm, Giant. A monster that is kind of uninteresting by itself, but what it really does well is interact with other things in your dungeon. So if you're fighting, I don't know, a son of Caius, what you want to be doing is backing up and backing up and backing up as much as you can. But, you know, you may think that when you've got your back to the wall, you just can't back up any further. But in fact, the further problem is that that's not a wall at all, it's a stun jelly. And since stun jellies aren't evil or even intelligent, they just kind of grab the thing that's closest to them. So once you've discovered that there's this stun jelly colony growing on one of the dungeon walls, then you could start, you know, maneuvering your opponents to try to force them into the stun jelly. That'd be particularly interesting if you were fighting something that, well, you know, had a lot of hit points or a lot of AC, and then you were really having a hard time damaging, but you steer it into the stun jelly. Well, I always like those things that add just like a fun little interactable element to the dungeon. It might be a little video gamey, but I guess this is where video games got it, so So the stun jelly is basically just another complication monster. Not really dangerous unless you get too close to it, so it becomes another thing about paying attention to your environment. Again, you want to balance that so that you're not demanding that the players engage in that playstyle where they're checking for traps every 30 seconds, because at least to me, that's very dull. Next we have the Susurrus, created by Albi Fiori. And this is a fine example of a scenario creature taken out of its context. And I think the really interesting thing about it is we've talked a lot about monsters in this book and in the Monster Manual that have scenario potential. And the Susurrus is alive with scenario potential. Basically, it's a big sort of coral-like humanoid-ish creature. It's described as the size of a large gorilla. And its structure basically consists of this like exoskeleton with a series of passageways through it. And as air passes through the passageways, essentially as the Susurrus breathes in and out, it makes this quiet droning song, which is described in the scenario that it comes from as being like the rustling of the wind in the leaves, or it's a very peaceful, soothing sound. And in particular, it has the effect that it puts nearby undead to sleep. And so, okay, clearly this is for a dungeon where there's a load of undead, and the Susurrus is emitting this peaceful sound and keeping them asleep. And indeed, it is in just such a dungeon that the Susurrus first appears. And that's the Lichway, a dungeon for a party of 6 to 8 first-level player characters that first appeared in White Dwarf number 9. Now, I don't have a copy of White Dwarf number 9, but the Lichway was reprinted in the Best of White Dwarf Scenarios Volume 1. Well, it wasn't called Volume 1 at the time, it was just called the Best of White Dwarf Scenarios, but there were at least a further 2 volumes, and I do have that. So, looking at the Lichway, this is exactly what we get. And so, in the Lichway are a bunch of undead who are being kept quiet by the drone of the Susurrus, and if you investigate, you can find out what's going on. There's a poem carved into the plinth of a statue that tells you something about it. There's an item that repels the Susurrus without hurting it, and so on. So essentially, the Susurrus is this big monster. It has a very damaging hug attack where it can grab you and press you into its spiny exoskeleton, doing a good amount of damage. I mean, considering this is meant to be something that's facing first-level characters, it'll really do them a hurt. And you get claws for 2d4, and the crush attack is like 3d8, which is certainly enough to deal with most first-level characters. So the Lichway is a dungeon that's very focused on investigation and exploration, and that means there are actually a lot of clues that will tell you what the Susurrus is and what it does that the player characters can observe if they're going around trying to figure out the mystery of the place. And I think that that is the context in which the Susurrus works very well. It's been noted before that the Lamentations of the Flame Princess scenario, Death, Frost, Doom, is essentially an homage to the Lichway and includes a creature not unlike the Susurrus. Now, there are 2 versions of this scenario, I believe, and they are different from each other, I recall that. But if you want to know more about Death, Frost, Doom, if you don't have it, I suggest you listen to the episode of Fear of a Black Dragon that discusses it, because I think they do talk a bit about the differences between the versions, and I think the similarities to the Lichway as well. I haven't read it myself. Anyway, the Susurrus is pretty good. In some ways, it's a very Fiori-like monster, but compared to something like the Carbuncle is just kind of like a universal nuisance. There's no party whose life is going to be improved by the presence of a psychic armadillo with a gem in its forehead that wants your friends not to like you as much as they used to. Whereas the Susurrus is a very specific creature, and it reads a little weird here because it's taken out of context. It's essentially a scenario MacGuffin in the form of a monster, and I think it's interesting that it so strongly implies the scenario that it came from. If you were told, hey, here's the Susurrus, you have to use it in a scenario, you would say something like, well, okay, there's an army of the undead and they're sleeping and the Susurrus is there and it's keeping them asleep, so you have to like plunder the tomb while avoiding getting mangled by the Susurrus, but without killing it, which would wake up the army of the undead. And that's a big part of the Lichway. I think that says something about the difference between creatures that are designed as like facets of a game world and those that are designed for a specific context. But I do think that one of the ways that you can tell that Albi Fiori is good at this is that the Susurrus feels interesting. It doesn't feel like a MacGuffin. It clearly has a very specific narrative purpose, but it's also got this compelling description. It's not just like another big undead monster. It's not like some statue. You know, it has all these weird little flourishers that just make you say, oh, this is a really strange creature. And doubly strange because it exists in a scenario that is otherwise not particularly outre, right? It's an exploration of a crypt, and you're trying to get your hands on the treasure of the crypt, but, you know, meanwhile, there are some other baddies in there, and they've got their own sinister agendas, and there are also other thieves and blah, 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 right? You actually meet quite a lot of people you can talk to in the Lichway, so it's a very well-executed version of a more or less conventional Dungeons & Dragons scenario, but then also this one weird thing where you would expect that the undead are being kept sleeping by a circle of containment or a magic flute or something. In the Lich way, they're being kept sleeping by a big bony coral-looking thing that breathes the sound of the wind sighing gently among the trees. And for my money, that's a lot more interesting and fun. The Sussurus is pretty great, but I strongly suspect that you're not going to use it more than once in your campaign, and that once is probably going to be in the Lich way, because it fits very well in there. Anyway, that is about all the time we have for these monsters today. Please join me next time as we finally finish up the S chapter of The Fiend Folio, talking about the Svirf Neblin and the Symbiotic Jelly on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.